Okay, first thing, just want to congratulate J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins for being named to the Pro Bowl. Also, obviously, Dwayne Brown as a first alternate. You know, just real happy for those guys. You know, proud of all three of them, just like I'm proud of this football team. As far as it relates to Brian Hoyer, Brian's still in the protocol. He has been cleared to practice on a limited basis, but not cleared to play yet. Cecil Shorts did not practice today. I don't think he'll be available for the game. Raheem Moore is sick, dealing with an illness. We signed an outside linebacker to the practice squad, Jordan DeWalt on Dejo, and he's on the practice squad. And then we put Tony Washington on the practice squad injured reserve. You know, he's still here, and we're trying to get him healthy and be able to work with him. So with that, I'll open it to questions.
So at this point, without, you know, getting too much into gamesmanship, would it be likely that Brandon Whedon would have to be out there for you Sunday, or is it something that you're going to determine later in the week?
I think as we go through the week that we'll determine that. Some of that has to do with Brian Hoyer, you know, and his ability to be cleared. He was in practice today, so he took reps in practice and those things. And so, you know, I'm not going to really get into a lot of depth at the quarterback position with you guys, you know, just where we're at right now. You know, we're still working through all those things. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, look, here's a guy that that is a great player that's having to learn to play basically with one arm. And when you really think about that, I mean, to me, it's remarkable. His ability to adjust from you know, the New England game to the Indianapolis game and learn and keep being disruptive. And, you know, you know, I'm telling you, it's probably frustrating for him, but, you know, you talk about a superb athlete, you know, trying to adjust to that type of an injury. You know, that's a testament to him and his ability to still play at a very, very high level.
Yeah, what have you seen from Jonathan Joseph from early in the year when he's sort of knocking off a little bit of rust? He didn't do a lot of preseason, probably
right.
That design and what he's done, the kind of season he's manufactured.
Yeah, he's had a good season. He's had a bunch of pass breakups. He had a big, big play in the Indianapolis game when he you know, caused that fumble. He's, you know, one of our leaders of our team, not just that position, but leader of our team. Just a great guy. Really happy for him that the season, you know, has gone well for him. And, you know, right now with all those guys, including J.J., we really need them to keep playing well, you know, because these games only get tougher as we move on down the road here.
One of the more unsung guys, like a lot of fullbacks, is Jay Prosh. But what has he meant to your team, what he does for you on special teams and blocking for you guys?
Jay's a really good teammate, Aaron. That's like you just said it. I mean, he does a lot of different things for us. He's a core special teams player. And then he's our fullback and primarily used as a lead blocker. Every once in a while we hand him the ball, and he's had some productive runs. And he's a tough, tough guy. He's a quiet guy, goes about his business every single day. He's always out there. He plays, you know, with the bumps and bruises that all these guys play with, and just a good guy to have on the team. Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, to understand that, you'd probably have to ask him exactly what it feels like. But, you know, his ability to have that type of pain threshold and be able to go out there and do that, because, you know, it can't be easy. I mean, it cannot be easy. You know, there's a couple other guys, too. I mean, don't forget now, you know, Dwayne Brown, you know, playing left tackle with a bad thumb, broken thumb. You got Charles James that's, you know, playing with some – you know, some issues with his feet. So, you know, you've got a bunch of guys out there, Brian Cushing, right on down the line, Jonathan Joseph, like we talked about, Kareem Jackson. I mean, I can name a lot of guys, which is probably the same for everybody in this league, but I'm always real proud to be associated with the guys that really fight through things like that.
Bill, could you talk about how Daniels is adapting to what you got, rushing him through, trying to get him ready, all that sort of thing?
It's never a rush. Really. We don't –
like.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but I think it's important to note that as meaning, like, we give him plays, we talk about our base offense, and then he comes back, you know, maybe a couple hours later or the next day, and he says, hey, you know, has his questions and, you know, maybe some things that he's done in the past that he thinks can carry, hey, is this like this? I used to do this, these types of things. Very serious guy, very business-like approach. You know, right away he's come in here and gone to work, and that's something that's impressed me right away in the first couple days.
What have you thought about his ability to adapt as you go through your system and what he knows and learning your deal?
Yeah, so he's had a lot of different experiences in his football career between, you know, being at South Florida and the things that he did there, and then being in Seattle, playing quarterback, also playing a lot of receiver in Seattle. So, you know, there's a lot of things that just about every pro football team runs play-wise, and so he has some carryover to some of the things that they did in Seattle to what we're doing. And then there's things that are different, you know. Maybe it's our cadence, or obviously our play calls, or, you know, some of the things we read and things like that. So he's grinding through it. I thought he went out there today and, you know, did a lot of different things for us and looked good.
What do you think are the key differences for a quarterback when it comes to being thrown into a game coming in
the middle of one versus being prepared and going in as a starter? Yeah, no, there's some. You know, I think the biggest difference is if you're being thrown into that position. Like, for instance, Brandon last week, he only got one rep, and I think it was a run. So you're not getting the reps that the starter gets. You just don't have enough time to basically split the reps 50-50 in a week's time. So the starter gets the bulk of the reps. That's a big difference. You know, I think the other thing is, look, when you are going in there as a backup, it's almost like you're going in there as a relief pitcher. Not to say that there's a nothing to lose attitude, but there's also somewhat of an attitude where, you know, maybe I have a chance here to do my job and spark the team, you know, spark the team, especially if, you know, maybe that quarterback unfortunately got injured like TJ or what it is. So I thought Brandon did a good job. I think the key with these guys, too, is those guys over the last 2 years that have been thrust into that role, for the most part, have shown really good poise. So they're able to go in there and kind of collect themselves, play it one play at a time, and try to do their job for the team.
I would. Oh,
go ahead.
I think there's a lot of different factors that go into that. I would say trying to get you have to balance, you know, you're trying to practice the running game, and then you're trying to practice the passing game, and making sure that in that instance that TJ gets enough throws with all the different receivers and backs and tight ends that are going to play in the game. That's a big thing, and there's not enough reps to go around. So you're counting on the backup quarterback to get his reps post-practice. Maybe he gets out there a little earlier and works with the receivers, gets them warmed up, whatever it is. But all of the timing usually is done by the starter with the starting receivers or the guys that are going to play in the game. So that's really more of it was. Not as much getting TJ caught up. I think he was pretty acclimated to the offense, but it was more about getting him with the timing of the passing game.
Bill, are you, I mean, you were familiar with TJ when you brought him in because you'd had him in an OTAs and a training camp. How much was Brandon on your radar screen? I mean, do you pay attention to guys just thinking that you may need him? And the second part of that, were you surprised when you look out there and see that he's available and you desperately needed help?
I'll answer the last one first. Never surprised about anything in this league, ever. nothing ever surprises me. And then I'll go back and answer your first question because I think it's a really good one too. What we try to do in the offseason, and even during the season, you watch so much film. And so obviously you're watching yourselves, you're watching your opponent, but you may grind through some other teams. You know, maybe it's a team that had a really good offensive game plan you heard about in a certain game, or, you know, maybe it's a quarterback that you want to take a look at. And then in the offseason, you're looking at a lot of these quarterbacks. So we were familiar with Brandon and his skill set. He throws a really nice ball. He's got a good arm. He's got good poise, like I said. And, you know, he was a first-round draft pick. So, you know, the guy's got a lot of talent, and we're glad he's here.
But with Curtis Drummond, and I was watching your show with John, the Telestrator thing.
Oh, isn't that just a great show?
I like it. I like you breaking down the plays. But watching Drummond and watching him get through the double team, what's he meant to you guys? It seems like the first time you've played him, including the Titans game where he knocked himself out, he's been a really good player for you in kick coverage.
Yeah, you know, it's something about, I tell you, you know, a lot of it has to do with him himself. You know, he's a very hard worker. He's a quiet guy. He's here all the time. I mean, he's always watching film or in the weight room or, you know, trying to get better. Works very hard on the practice field from the time he was, you know, here in OTAs to training camp to being on the practice squad to being elevated. He's never stopped that work ethic. I think there's something to be said about Michigan State, you know, and the way that they coach at Michigan State. You know, Coach D'Antonio, I think, does a great job of making sure that guys understand their roles and teaches them how to play tough, hard-nosed football. Max Bulla, Curtis Drummond, Brian Hoyer, you know, these guys are coming in and they're good teammates. They know what it means to be part of a team, and so I think part of it's that. But Curtis has done a nice job coming in here.
Bill, what do coaches do
Well, I think the big thing that you have to do is you can't just get up there and give them speeches. You have to show them on film, number one, things that we need to correct from the Indianapolis game, but also you have to show them Tennessee. Like, you know, I'll give you for instance, like Tennessee's got a lot of good players on defense. I mean, you watch Jarrell Casey, you watch Arakpo, you watch these guys play defense. Daquan Jones, Williamson. I mean, these guys can play defense. And so we show them film. This is what we have to get ready for offensively. You got Zach Mettenberger's got a rocket arm, can throw the ball. Their receivers are productive. Delanie Walker leads the NFL for tight ends and receptions. He's got 74 receptions, leads them also in yardage. So a lot of good players here. And so we show them that, and we say, look, these are the things we need to do to be able to beat this team, and you better be ready to go. And I think that's really what you have to do.